Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Linux for the Rest of Us, number 146. Tonight, we got a great guest with us tonight. He's been on here before. We've had him talking about pre-OLF. Now we're going to talk about post-OLF. We got Mr. Kevin O'Brien joining us tonight. Also co-hosting tonight is our good friend, Door-to-Door Geek. Cody is out sick tonight, so I get the privilege of filling in for him. This is Martin, sometimes called Rambo, sometimes called Tater Obando. I'll take whatever you guys call me. Just I hope it's not late for dinner, because I'm a big guy, and Door can attest to that from a couple weeks ago. Actually, that was Mitch's first thing. Wow, you're a big guy, bigger than I thought you would be. I was like, hi, Mitch, nice to meet you, too. So, right out of the van, that's the first thing he said to me. But we'll kick it over to Door. Hey, Door, how are things going tonight?
Going pretty good. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Cody's tummy was hurting. I don't know, maybe he ate something funny. Hopefully not yogurt, bad yogurt again, because that took him out for a couple days.
Man, they got a watch expiration date on yogurt.
Evidently, yes. I don't know. I don't like to eat anything that sounds like it's coming back up by its name, yogurt. I will say I had a good week. I had a busy week. This is the way the schedule was supposed to be. Last Sunday night, the server show. Monday night, my hard drive died. Tuesday night, Podnuts. Wednesday night, Mobile Dynasty. Instead, I was on an episode of Tilts. Thursday night, Android App Addicts. Tonight, Linux for the Rest of Us.
Here, just to let you know.
Yeah. Tomorrow night, they asked me to be on the Unbootables. Sunday night, I'm looking to launch a new show. Monday night, I'm on Throwback Reviews. So, and then Tuesday night is my open night.
You can come on to Geeksters.
No.
No? All right.
You guys broadcast when my kids are still up. You'll hear kids in the background, everything else. I can't do that.
All right.
But super quick. Sunday night is a pilot. I'm going to say it's a pilot of a new show. I don't know if it's even going to be a show. It's partially a test case, partially filling a personal need, partially it's a show, and partially it's a pipe dream. So it's filling multiple roles, which is why I'm trying it. It's called Podnuts Meetup is what I'm thinking it's going to be called. Sunday night on mumble.podnuts.com, Mumble server, open forum, anyone can come on the show. We're going to talk about anything and everything related to Podnuts or Podnuts type content, whether it be fixing computers, viruses, malware, Android application, rooting and ROMing phones, Android, iOS, Windows Phone, Linux, hard drives, anything pertaining to the Podnuts universe. The difference is we're stealing something from an old series called Linux Cranks, where people are going to get booted. Each episode, we're going to have one, probably just one designated booter who has been given the authority in the Mumble server to actually do the booting. If you will get booted if A, you have poor audio quality, B, you curse or talk about adult content type things where kids cannot listen to it. Everything on Podnuts is kids friendly. Three, you talk about something not in the Podnuts universe, hunting, politics, religion, booted, gone. And other things to be announced later. And even I can be booted from the show. I will say that because I'm not going to be the booter. Someone else will be. And it's a test because I want to see if we can do Mumble with people who respect good audio quality. Can we get a quote unquote professional sounding podcast out of Mumble? Because I don't know if we can. I really don't know if it's possible. So I want to do it and see if we can. And at the same time, fulfill the need of doing a community show. I wanted to do a show called State of Podnuts. I can also do that in there. We have not been able to revive the Great Tech Debate. We could revive that in there. Steve wanted to do a game show the longest time ago. I could even throw in a game show segment where I could give away prizes. So one show, so
it's not
possibly
like the newlywed game, right?
I beg to God not. Yeah, so we could be fulfilling a lot of different needs for me personally and trying things to see if they work and having fun.
So I can't tell my story about how my priest grabbed his rifle and went hunting Republicans?
You would be booted before you get out the word priest, probably. I will say this. Sunday night is the initial night. I plan on having it revolving days of the week to allow other people to come on the show, because some people might have to work on Sunday night. And also possibly different times of the night to allow like West Coast people a more easier time to join in.
I like that. I like that. So you and I, you know, and when we're in recording with Linux for the Rest of Us or Geeksters, we record locally and then we put everything together. We don't have to worry about that. All you got to do is show up with a microphone. That sounds halfway decent, yeah. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you don't need...
Yeah, and a... Sorry.
I was going to say, so people don't have to go out and buy a new microphone. If they have a headset microphone that sounds somewhat decent, they can join in.
They can try. They can try.
I mean, we don't want to have people having to go out and buy a whole bunch of gear to join us, but...
I know, but headset mics typically suck, and, you know, TVs in the background or radios in the background or vacuum cleaners or cats or whatever, you're getting booted. You could have a $600 mic on your desk, but if you have a kid 3 feet from you playing PS3 and he has the volume turned up, you're getting booted.
All right. So no kids.
Well,
I'm just kidding. I'm just busting your chops.
Well, and I'll put it like this. It's really a pilot trial to see if it can be done. Because if it can, it can. If it can, it can't. If it can't, you'll never see it in the RSS feeds. I'll say that.
That's right. All of a sudden, Sunday night's calendar is clear. Except for the server show. Well, I'll be there. Yes. I'm going to try to join in. And you can just kind of come when you can. There's no start time. I mean, you're probably going to put out a start time, stop time, but it's really...
No. I don't do hard stop times because I believe you stop when either you get tired or when the content
Or the last
stops.
Person's been booted.
Yeah, or the last person's been booted. I will say I'm looking at a start time of 9:30 Eastern Standard Time and end whenever it ends.
All right. Well, I'll be there.
Cool.
Maybe not this Sunday, though. Oh, no, this Sunday I can. It's the next Sunday. I can't.
Good. Gotcha. Yeah, we wanted to have Kevin on a couple reasons. One, I could only do a limited number of things every day at OLF because I'm only one person, and I had to give session talks. Martin was basically manning the Podnuts desk a good percentage of Saturday, so we both only got to see part of OLF. And I can attest... Kevin every year does a fantastic job of what he gives me the impression he goes into every single talk for at least 2 to 3 minutes, takes pictures, listens, goes to the next talk, pictures, listens, goes to the next talk. So I want to get his overall feel because I don't think anyone has seen more in any individual OLF than Mr. Kevin O'Brien. So I wanted to have you on and get your perspective on the event.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I'm really pleased to be here. You know, I'm not sure that seeing a minute or two of a talk is the best way to overall judge anything. But I did sneak into one or two anyway. You know, the first thing I would just point out to people is that OLF has become a two-day festival. And that's, you know, if you're only there for Saturday, you're going to miss out on some stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm actually going to start with Friday.
Cool.
You know, we had a couple of things going on with the Friday schedule. We had obviously, we had all the classes, but, you know, those are things you'd have to pay for and sign up if you were going to go to those. So that's a different audience. But I will just mention to anyone who's thinking about this that every year that's a fantastic bargain. You know, for $350, you get a full day of training, and the training is generally, like, you know, we did SE Linux. We had someone from Red Hat teaching the class, you know, we did Puppet. We had someone from Puppet Labs teaching the class. So we try and get the best possible people to come do this. So that's a fantastic bargain. But, we did a couple of things this year on Friday. One of them was what we call we call early penguins, and all of that means is that Friday is earlier than Saturday. So you've got a full slate of talks that you can go to. I thought there were some really good ones this year. So networking standards, defined by software. One called Help Your Library Crashed My App that I was sort of, I found that interesting because, a lot of times when we package apps up, we include various libraries and, what happens when that goes pear-shaped on you. And then there was a really good one on documentation. And, documentation may be one of those things that a lot of people don't pay that much attention to, but when you need it and you can't find it, it suddenly becomes really important. And documentation is really where my main interest is, and I may be moving even further in that direction. I've been doing a lot of stuff with LibreOffice, as you know, and I'm sort of thinking, I should maybe get involved with the documentation team. Something I'm thinking about. But for the moment, I'm just going to focus on finishing all the other stuff I've committed to.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I am told that there was someone from the kernel documentation team who came to that talk. So that's interesting. And of course, while that was going on, there was also an UbuCon. So it was the members of the Ohio Loco that did this day-long Ubuntu thing. Ubuntu is becoming controversial, I think it is fair to say. But they're doing some pretty interesting things. They had a strong presence at Ohio Linux Fest this year. I was glad to see them there. And they were talking about things like how Ubuntu can handle, power management, Ubuntu in schools, stuff about the new UEFI and how that's going to affect booting. And so there was some pretty good stuff there. And then finally winding up with Mad Dog. Mad Dog.
Yeah, that was a epic keynote.
Yeah. He's always good. And the tradition is that he always closes the Friday activities.
Yeah, and I'll say I heard some very good things about the talk Scripting Zero to Hero by David Wood.
Uh-huh.
That was one after the fact when people were talking about it. I was literally upset that I missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, I think Tracy, no, not Tracy, Russ Winter went to that one.
Russ.
And he mentioned some good things too about that. And I guess, like you said, Dory, on paper, it didn't sound very exciting, but after the fact, it's like, oh, that would have been a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say, Ubuntu, I think, is getting, I'll say, controversial. The things that they are doing that is good is ultra good. I literally went up to John O'Bacon Saturday night at the after party, shook his hand, and I thanked him. Mm-hmm. And he was like, for what? And I said, well, you guys are putting a lot of work into atspy, ATSPY, into Mir, making sure accessibility is working right. I said, not a lot of distros do the amount of work that you guys have started to do here in the last month, so I wanted to thank you and shake your hand. And he was like, you're the third person who said that this festival. Mm-hmm. He said, you guys must really care about it. I said, well, we're very connected to people who need accessibility, so when you guys do it, it's a plus. And then he showed me his phone, and I said, don't show it to me if I can't play with it, and walked away.
Well, and I think having so many people come up to him and mention that shows him that then they're onto something. I mean, if nobody ever came up to him, and then they wouldn't know kind of what the water was like out there. But because of that, I think that's a good push for them to keep going, and I think that's going to help snowball it a little bit more.
I hope so.
Me too. Maybe he might say, oh, that's three. I didn't get five.
Well, yeah. They're controversial, and I certainly don't agree with everything they've done. But, you know, it was interesting. I was reading something someone said, I think it was online, about how, they went to Unity and I didn't like it. And I thought it was a bad move. They should have stuck with GNOME too. And then I saw a couple of people who were brand new to Linux take to it right away. He said, and I started to realize I'm not the target audience for that.
Exactly.
What I think they're trying to do, I don't know if they're going to succeed. But I think what they're trying to do is say, you know, we put in our time being the darling of the veteran Linux users. And that is going to get us a fraction of 1% of all computer users. And if they want to grow beyond that, they're going to have to try and do something that is going to get them out. And, you know, with Windows XP, goes out of support in April, I believe. And a lot of people might be interested at making a change, and I think those are the folks that they're actually aiming towards.
I agree. It's definitely new user friendly, and that's why, you know, a lot of people suggest Mint, and I'm not going to say Mint is a bad distribution for them, but Ubuntu's a company who we know is going to be around at least a little bit. Mm-hmm. Clem and Linux Mint could literally go away tomorrow. I think Canonical, as long as they keep their head straight in trying to gain popularity, the new user is, they're going to have it there for them. Mm-hmm. It's going to be there for them.
Yeah.
And Unity, while it's not my desktop of choice by far, I understand why a new user would look at it and think it makes sense and it works.
Sure. Because
it kind of makes sense and it kind of works.
And they're and in effect, they're, you know.
Go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say the Canonical's in a good spot right now because, with Windows XP going away and everything being Windows 8 consumer wise, unless you go through, you know, your resellers and you can buy Windows 7 that way, not a lot of people like Windows 8. So Canonical seems like they're in a really good spot to start taking up some of that foothold for people who want to, you know, aren't going to get the support with Windows 7, but yet don't want to make the move to a very user unfriendly, in my opinion, operating system as Windows 8.
Yeah.
Very cool. And I will say that Mad Dog talk, every time he talks, he gives me, this is what I don't like about Mad Dog talks, he gives me a false sense of confidence. When I'm done listening to him, I believe I can put my hand through a concrete cinder block. You know, because everything he says I know is well thought out. Everything I know he says is accurate from everything he's experienced. And he has experienced so much, and he instills confidence in everything he says. Mm-hmm. I'm just suckered into it every single time I hear him speak.
Sure. I'll go listen to him speak anywhere. Anytime.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, which is why I was happy he came to the hotel room again this year. Mm-hmm. And BS'd with us and drank some homebrew porter beer and enjoyed himself.
Well, I heard he didn't really enjoy porter so much.
Yes, and that's okay, because we had other things to participate in.
This was my first Ohio Linux Fest, and I had heard, Mad Dog's name preceded himself by far. And yep. and you kind of walk into it going, all right, is this guy really going to make you punch, you know, through a cinder block? And by gosh, I wanted to jump behind him and let's go. You know, he is absolutely amazing. And just to sit down with him one-on-one at the after party and get a chance to talk with him was a great, great win in my book to actually meet him in person after hearing about how good he was in his keynote speech. I can't say enough good things about that. It was definitely inspiring.
Yeah, and one of the things I really appreciate, because it matters a lot to me, is his focus is free software. It's about freedom. And unfortunately, I think for a lot of people in the community, that's not their primary focus anymore. And it's all about, you know, how we're going to get into corporations and, you know, business deals and what have you. And I can see that there's a place for that, but, you know, I get these people, sometimes I'll hear someone say, you know, it's irresponsible if you're using GPL, you know, you should be releasing under a completely unrestricted license. And it's like, okay, now whose freedom is being protected if I do
Thank
that?
You.
You know?
See, this is why I like Kevin so much. Kevin, you're spot on. I'll say I understand what those other people mean, but what they, I think, fail to comprehend is freedom is not universal. There's two classes of software licensing as far as I'm concerned. There's software licenses that protect the user and the users and the communities, and then there's software licenses that protect developers, companies, and project teams, right. I'll say. I favor the license that support the users. I say that even though I created closed source software and sold it on the market for thousands of dollars for years. Mm-hmm. I can never and would never do that again, because I understand how it is never as good, as complete, as thorough, as well-liked, and as commonly pushed by people as when it is for the user.
Absolutely. I was just reading an article about the next PlayStation that Sony is doing, and apparently they're using a variant of BSD for the operating system. And the article very matter-of-factly said, you know, the advantage of BSD is that they can take it and then lock it down. And it's like, okay, yeah, but why do I as a consumer want that to happen? So, you know, my feeling is that, you know, when I hear people say it's irresponsible to use the GPL, I say, I think it's irresponsible to use the BSD, because
exactly.
you cannot protect your users that way. And isn't that really the whole point of free software in my book? In the final analysis, it's, you know, if you wrote the software, you decide what license.
Yes, and I will say, as a user, I will use stuff that's under the BSD license, and I'll use stuff under the MIT license, and I'll use other license formats. But if something is available in GPL and it is in direct competition with said software, I, as a user, will put my time and my effort into the one that's GPL'd.
Yeah, I had a long, you know, back and forth with Larry Bushy from the Going Linux podcast about that. They just did a part one on licensing. They're going to do a part two that's more advanced. And I was kind of responding to that because he was, you know, he's kind of sort of slagging GPL v3 and...
Yeah.
And I was saying, well, you know, I don't agree with that, and here's why. So we had a very nice exchange of stuff. I didn't convince him, and he didn't convince me.
Well, I would say those kind of conversations, it really isn't about convincing. It's just about conveying opinions and how we see things. And thank you for doing that, because honestly, Kevin, I heard that podcast, and I was just too tired to write an email out.
Yeah.
After listening to it, I felt mentally beat down. I was like, I can't. Cause Tom and Bill and, then Larry, all three of them, of course, Tom's not on anymore. They're such nice guys. I don't want to come off rude to them. So I said to myself, I'm just not going to send an email, cause I don't want to come off rude.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a, you know, interesting environment there. But I mean, one of the things that I love about Mad Dog is, you know, I picked up on this a few years ago when I started to notice that he rarely talks about open source. He always says free software. And that's the terminology over and over. And since I noticed that, I kind of listen. And you know, that's his whole thing. And that goes right back to the deck users groups when people were copying software and passing it around. So he's been in that all along.
Yeah, and I feel like free software is something I can literally stick my teeth into and feel and taste and smell. It is, this is free software. Open source is more of an ideal. It isn't something in my book tangible. Mm-hmm. It's like a thought process.
Right.
And I understand people who support it. I understand that. I choose to support the ideals and the facts that are behind free software.
Right. So anyway, Saturday, you know, the opening keynote was Mark Spencer, and I seem to recall hearing a story about someone who didn't think he was old enough to drink.
Yes, that was me. I saw him walk in the door of the hotel. Me and Mad Dog were just getting ready to chat, and I look over his shoulder and I point, because I'm already halfway inebriated, and I point right at him. He looks right at me through like 10 people. I say, are you old enough to be in here? Are you sure you're in the right hotel room?
Yeah.
And then like 3 seconds later, somebody said, like, leaned to me, dude, that's Mark Spencer. I said, I'm sorry. Do you need a beer?
What can I get you?
Yeah.
I open mouth, insert foot. I felt so dumb. And then we chatted for a couple minutes. And obviously this guy is maybe one of the sharpest guys I think I've ever met.
So
smart.
You look at his record. I mean, first he, the primary author of instant messaging client that everyone used, did a few other things, and then sort of offhandedly invented this open source PBX, and then created a company, and is the CTO and the chairman of the board of this company, and everything, and. Yeah, I'm trying to think, what was I doing when I was that age? and I think I was just partying with my friends, really.
Same here. Me, I was playing Grand Theft Auto 3, partying and wasting seconds away like they were free.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy was being constructive, being involved in projects, leading software development. He makes me look pathetic.
Right. So after his keynote, I think you were doing the class on desktop environments.
Yes, sir.
And I didn't see that because I decided I really wanted to hear what John O'Bacon had to say about convergence. And, you know, it's really clear that for whatever reason, Canonical thinks that's the future. Whether it is or not, I don't know, but it's pretty clear they're not the only ones who think that, because I'm seeing more and more companies trying to put together something like that. I just read an article the other day saying that's really what Apple's going to do, and you know, the iOS on the Macintosh, iOS on the tablet phone, iOS on Apple TV, and they're, you know, unite everything. And I thought, well, okay, it's interesting. Maybe Apple's going to do that, but that's exactly what Canonical is trying to do. And, you know, I keep hearing people attack Canonical as it just doesn't, this doesn't make any sense. No one's interested. I'll tell you, I got to play with Jono's phone. If I could put it on my phone, I would, because I thought it was pretty slick. But I have Verizon.
I didn't get a chance to look at the phone. I did see the hardware when I was at OSCON and ran into him, and I think some of the people were there, and I got to hold the phone, but it was not running yet. So
yeah, I just happened to stop him in the hallway.
I'm on Verizon too, so I'm not going to be able to run it either, and that makes me upset. Because I do want to experience it, at least so I can experience it. And I'll say my first talk was in direct competition to him. I was shocked when I looked at that anyone showed up to my talk. I thought Jono would have seriously taken a considerable number of the OLF people.
Yeah.
But I had at least, I'd say, 30, maybe 40 people in my first talk.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. the problem, he said at first, yeah, this runs on the Galaxy Nexus, and that's what I have.
Right, but not on, but, it, well, it will run. It will run. We just won't get, we won't be able to do voice calls, text messages, or data.
But other than that, it's a great phone. Yeah.
Yeah, other than that, it's fantastic. We can go home, connect to Wi-Fi, and browse the internet. Yeah.
So I don't think I'm going to do that. And I also have pretty much decided I'm not going to stay on Verizon. I checked. My contract is up December 15th, and I'm thinking T-Mobile.
Mm. Yeah, technically, right now, my contract is expired.
Yeah.
But the rest of the family, I think my wife still has, who's wearing like a share plan, but she technically, if she leaves early, I think we still owe money.
Right.
So I'm just trying to hold out because while I like what I get with Verizon as far as bandwidth speeds and I'm still on unlimited data, mm-hmm. I don't like the fact I have a closed firmware antenna. It really, truly makes me upset now. And if I would have known then what I know now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have ever been on Verizon.
I'm just really sick and tired of reading about really neat features that everyone else is getting at the bottom of the article, unless you're on Verizon.
Right.
You know, how many times do you got to hear that before you think, okay, I don't really want to be a second-class citizen anymore?
Yeah,
so, exactly. So the next thing that happened on Saturday for me was a disaster.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my talk on LibreOffice. It was... I could not get my laptop to cooperate with that projector.
Same here. My first talk, it wanted to do extended desktop and not mirrored desktop.
Right.
And it just drove me nuts.
And I would finally get a decent mirrored desktop. And then the first time I'd touch a key, it would all go black on me. Ugh. So, you know, I did the best I could. But it really was just a major disaster.
Gotcha. Well, and that's the sad thing. We at home cannot truly practice for these talks because we don't own LCD projectors
right.
to literally play with. And I didn't think of that until I set my laptop on the podium and I looked and I said, oh dear God, how's this going to go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's when it hit me. It way too late. I got scared.
Yeah. And you know, I've done talks other places and didn't have any trouble at all, but, you know, just this particular projector, whatever, it was a mess. So then there was, someone did a talk about podcasting. Anyone know who that was?
Yes, sir.
I do.
I don't know, but I think he was still drunk when he was talking, though.
Dort, let me tell you something. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I probably got 30 or 40 queued up in my podcatcher. And, you know, they come in, I load them on my MP3 player, I listen to them, I delete them. Today, I took yours and said, I'm not deleting it. I'm putting this aside for something I want to come back to a few more times. Because you just had so much quality information in that. If that's what you do when you're drunk, we should get drunk more often.
That's what I was told that by a couple people. And I'll say this. When I first started the talk, I really wasn't sure how I was going, mm-hmm. how I was doing. Then when I saw Claude 2 in the back of the room, I almost got sick to my stomach because I'm like, I have a multimedia professional sitting in the back of the room listening to this. Oh my Lord, now I'm really scared.
Well, first of all, you did great. So you had nothing to be worried about. Second of all, Klaatu's a really nice guy. I mean,
oh yeah.
Even if you were a putz, he wouldn't really get on your case anyway. But in you know, you did a fantastic job.
Well, I listened to it again after last week's show, and I did notice I said one or two things. I don't want to say completely inaccurately, but I said them out of turn, I'll say.
Sure.
But they weren't horrendous and they weren't going to, like, you know, make or break someone. But I will say, all I really wanted to do in that talk was just convey the basics. The basics of these are the simple things you have to do to get good audio. And it's like the old golden rule of computing, garbage in, garbage out.
Right.
You know, a good quality mic, not a gaming USB headset, a quieter area, and you're literally like 70% of the way there just with those two things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really proud, I'll say to myself, I'm able to do all this in Linux, and I swear everything I've seen on Windows, these tools that I'm utilizing are in direct comparison. I'm not going to say they're just as good, but they're in direct comparison, and they fulfill my needs 100% week after week after week. Mm-hmm. I've produced well in excess of 100 shows now,
right,
and I'm very confident in the output that I'm getting. I am going to try one tweak. Steve C. asked me to change my bit rate from 64 to, I think, 96. He said it should only slightly increase the file size, but it should increase the quality dramatically.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try that here in a couple weeks.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's the audiophile who just dings me every now and then. And reminds me about this one setting. Don't forget, you know, Steve, I listened to this show and you were doing this. You should look at changing this setting on your mixer. Oh, okay, cool. And then I go change it and I ask him, does it sound better? Because I don't have golden ears. And he's like, yes, it sounds better. Oh, good, 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 good.
Yeah, it was the podcast that I was able to make for you. And I got headphones out of it. Uh-huh. I mean, I got more than that. No, I didn't want to come across as that's the only thing I got out of it. But definitely learned. You know, being part of the Geeksters team, wanted to go in and learn some more, figure out what, you know, I was looking to see what I was doing wrong, and then how I can make it better. Especially now that we get a chance to work together now some more, and I want to bring. The best that I can bring to you, and the best that I can bring for the Podnuts community, and it was a great podcast. I walked out of there, and I've listened to it actually a couple times, and every time I listen to it, I pick up something new. So, if you haven't listened to it, we played it live last week, right?
Yes,
and
sir.
So episode 145, you can go and listen to the whole thing live. Well,
yeah, and I'll say I think the most important thing to me about that talk was not the talk itself. It was after the fact, getting basically the blessing of Claw 2. I now, to be honest, feel more confident in my A, ability to overall publicly speak, but B, speak confidently about something that I honestly believe I know. I honestly believe I know these tools. I don't understand everything about these tools, but I honestly believe I know these tools. So the next fest, I just hope I do even better, and the fest after that even better. That's my goals now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the continuous improvement. That's the way all of us should be working.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely.
So after you got done, there was there was an encryption session. That talk seemed to attract a lot of interest. I can't imagine why. Has there been anything in the news that would have caused that to happen?
Not that I know of. Maybe something to do with privacy. Maybe.
I've been under a rock for the last year, so I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. And then there was also, the same time that was on was the amateur radio one. So I know Joel was involved with that.
Yep.
I mean, that's the thing is that, it's a good problem to have, but you start looking at the schedule and there's always two things going on at the same time that, mm-hmm. You'd like to see both. I mean, Dor, while you were doing the podcasting with Linux, opposite you, Rob Landley had a talk, and I will usually go to hear Rob Landley. It's a guy who's been in the community for a long time, and he was doing one on the rise and fall of copyleft, which would have been very interesting. And then at the same time, an Oracle VirtualBox, which is, So there's all three things going on at the same time that I would have liked to see.
Right, and I agree. And last year, I believe the command line talk in the Meet the Penguin track got high reviews, very high reviews. That was also going on at that very same time. So yep. At that time, I will say there was at least four talks I would have happily sat through.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to give mine, right. So I didn't have a choice.
And then there was a, musical software. That one, I did look in on that a little bit. I mean, part of the problem is that I don't get a chance to actually sit down and enjoy these talks. I may have to resign from OLF at some point so that I can start enjoying it again.
Right, right.
There was a talk that I know was good because I'd already seen it. George Castro, who also works for Canonical, he works for John O'Bacon. And he did one on, the title was Service Orchestration in the Cloud with Juju and Ubuntu. And he did it at our Linux users group. George lives in the same area that I do. Next town over kind of thing. So
very cool.
And so, yeah, we got him to the local Linux users group and he gave that talk. And so this was some months back. And so I heard the talk and I said, George, have you sent this to Ohio Linux Fest? Have you submitted this? He said, oh yeah.
So good.
Yep. Then, we get the closing keynotes. There's usually two of them. The first one was Robin Bergeron from the Fedora Project. And, the keynotes, I try and make sure I can sit there for the whole talk because they're usually worth it. And they certainly were this year. Robin gave a really good talk about really just what you need to do to take care of yourself. And sort of we talked about before, you have to pace yourself a little bit. Don't try and do everything. Don't try and be a super person.
Right. Yeah. And I would say she comes off as one of the smartest people when she talks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything she says seems like it came with years of experience behind it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not a doubt in the world. And then I really liked the closing keynote as well, Kirk McCusick from BSD. I like listening to the old guys. We had a fellow, good Lord, 3-4 years ago, Doug McElroy. And Doug McElroy is another one of the old guys, all right? So we're talking about when Unix was being written in the Bell Labs by Ritchie and Thompson. And I think he was their supervisor. And he was the guy who created pipes.
Huh.
So if you ever used pipes on your command line stuff, there's the guy who first wrote it down and created it. So that was our 40th anniversary of Unix that year. So that's why we had Doug there. And I love listening to those stories. I just read a couple of books about the early history of the internet and Unix and all of that stuff. And I've got a number of those on my bookshelf. So I like that stuff.
Very cool. And I'll say, to me, this demonstrates the openness of OLF,
mm-hmm.
Ohio Linux Fest. And the ending keynote on the busy day is BSD guy. I honestly can't speak on other Linux conferences about how open they are, but I honestly get the impression anyone can come up to you guys. And as long as it's anywhere related to free software or NIX-based operating systems, you guys give them as much of a chance as anyone else to talk and present and showcase.
Yeah.
I just love the idea of that because I don't want to be locked in to Linux. I want to know more about all of the choices out there.
Right. I agree. And, you know, the, my friends from the, Sunday Morning Linux Review, because they also live in this area. So I see them at LUG meetings and things like that. But, you know, they've been, experimenting with BSD. I think Mary T just decided to install it on her laptop.
Right. I can't remember which version though, but I do remember she was talking about it.
Yeah. And, I asked Matt the other day, when are we going to hear the second half? He got this BSD book that he was reading through and reviewing. We've heard the first half of his review, but he said, Matt, you got to finish reading the book. I want to hear the rest of the review.
Exactly.
So that's something, you know, if you look at the program or any of the promotional material or the website or anything, we make it clear that BSD is also a part of what we do. Linux is a good shorthand name for calling it Ohio Linux Fest. Everyone kind of knows what that means, but, it's just anything that's free software.
Right. Yeah. And I will say right after my podcasting talk, I had to go back to the Meet the Penguin track where I was blocked off for 3 hours.
Yeah, I saw that.
To do Ask the Geek. I tried, Kevin. I tried so hard to go 3 hours, but after about 2 hours and 10 minutes or so, my throat literally hurt from talking so much. And I just had to tell everybody, this is done. Okay, thank you for coming out. And I tried to do it gracefully and professionally and thank everyone for coming out to OLF. Thank everyone for supporting OLF. Thank everyone for coming out. Goodbye.
Yeah. I sat in for a few minutes, you know, it sort of looked like very few people had questions. So you'd sort of, anyone got any questions? And you'd wait for a minute and then you'd say, well, all right, well, I'm going to talk about this now.
Right. Yeah, I tried to set it up on the first talk. I tried to encourage people throughout the day, if you hear someone say an acronym or talk about a topic or talk about a subject that you want to know more about, write it down, come back at 2. And I will say, Klaatu, this guy is just too professional. He literally sat in the front row for the first hour of that, about an hour and a half of that talk, to give me support if someone asked me a question I didn't know, or if he had added details or opinions about stuff. So he literally helped me out in that talk, and then he had to run to go do his talk, which was on FlowBlade,
right?
Fast GPL V3 video editing. And I'm not going to lie, if I would have knew that talk was going on, I would have ended my talk at an hour and 55 minutes, and I would have ran over there for that one, but I completely forgot about that talk.
Right.
Well, a little bit that I sat in on that, the Ask the Geek talks, there were some good questions. I think that people came with just a wide range of questions from, you know, a little bit advanced to some, you know, beginning questions.
Well, yeah, they came in like a roller coaster, where there was like 2 or 3 questions and then none for 10 minutes, and then 3 or 4 questions and then none for 5 minutes, and then 2 or 3 questions and then none for 5 minutes. So I just had to like fill the gaps.
Your dancing was very good, by the way.
Man, that was bad. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm so white. It's ridiculous.
I you know, so being, like I said earlier, being my first OLF, I really had fun. I had, there were, you know, you brought it up earlier, Kevin, about how there were so many talks in a row, you know, at one time that I couldn't go to see them all. And, you know, that's okay. That's how it happens, you know, because you don't want to, you know, you don't want to have really good talks at one time and really bad talks at another. Well, I don't want to say really bad talks, but you know what I mean? That way you don't get a whole bunch of people in one area. You want to spread it out. And I think OLF did a really good job of that for being the, you know, my first OLF, not my first Linux conference, but my first one. And I'm very, you know, I'm looking forward to next year. You had mentioned you don't, you know, you may have to retire to go to go listen to some of them. Were they recorded? And if they were, because there was talks that I missed as well, are they going to be coming out on audio at some point so we can listen to them?
Yes. And we put the talks on archive.org once they've been edited. I don't know when the editing will be done. There's a fellow who sets up all of the mics and handles all the recording. And Dor knows all about this from last year. A guy named Vance Kokendorfer. And
yeah, if I didn't have headphones on, I would literally tip my hat to Vance because he obviously does a hell of a good job, because I've listened to that audio.
Yeah.
And I'll say, the people who were coming up to me before my talk, making sure we have the audio set up right. Are you comfortable with that? Is the laptop connecting right? Is this working okay for you? That kind of touch made me calmer. It made everything elevate in being professional, which I really enjoyed that part. And I literally had to go shake Vance's hand twice.
Yeah.
First for thanking him for the previous years, and then thanking him for what happened that day, kind of thing.
Yeah, no, he does a fantastic job. So what he will do is he will have raw WAV files. And, you know, put them together on a server somewhere. And then, you know, I will probably be, and it may be several of us working together, but we're going to try and get this done quickly this year. And, you know, the editing that we do is not, it's not very detailed. So what I did last year, for instance, just because I needed to just get the damn things done, I just opened them up in Audacity and cut out nonsense at the beginning and nonsense at the end, and then what I was left with in between was, you know, the actual talk. Just some very cursory normalization and noise reduction.
And I'll
save
say,
it out as an MP3.
If you, and for the people who are looking for it, if you go on archive.org and are able to find one of the talks, just put in Ohio Linux Fest 2012,
right,
for instance. And when you find one of them, the titles for all the rest of the files are going to be nearly exactly identical. Mm-hmm. So you can literally copy and paste part of that title back into the search, and then you'll be able to find all of the talks. That's the way I was doing it.
Well, you know, if you search for Ohio Linux Fest 2012, it should come back with a screen of like 50 different recordings.
Mm-hmm.
If you run any trouble with that, just remember Linux Fest is one word. I don't know if that affects their search on archive, but at least when I do it, I get all 50 of them back. I say 50. Very it's cool. About 50. I don't know exactly. The only problem we've ever had last year, for instance, were people who were not wearing the lapel mics.
Right.
And it's like, okay, we're not going to get a recording if you don't do this.
Yeah, and I'll say, last year I was so nervous, I didn't even realize Cody came up to me before the talk and put the lapel mic on me.
Right.
So I didn't even know last year I was wearing a lapel mic. And this year I was a little bit calmer. I was much more aware of it, and I was like, this is excellent. I just clip this right here. I can put it in my pocket. I can walk around, and I know they're going to get constant audio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's,
so yeah,
that's
thank you guys for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. To do it any other way, I would guess at least 30% of the talkers, you would get really bad audio from time to time.
Yeah. So that was, you know, but other than that, if people wear the mics, then we get, you know, decent recordings. I mean, you're not talking about studio quality, obviously. This is live stuff, but, you know, good enough that you can put it up on archive and people can download it and listen to it. And, you know, it's a decent listening experience.
Exactly. That is very awesome. And I will say, after Saturday was when the three-legged mare had the after party, which I believe was put on by HP.
HP was absolutely wonderful for us. I mean, they not only sponsored the party, but they gave us a laptop to give away at the party.
Yes. I heard about it. I didn't get a chance to look at it.
Yeah.
I was enjoying the alcoholic beverages too much. And they had some food by the other end of the bar that I know Martin was taking advantage of.
I could get to the other side, so I just stayed by the door and ate there.
Yeah.
I was late because I was able to, we were able to get both Tim and Fred. Mitch came with us, but Tim and Fred from Geeksters were able to join us. So we were a little bit late to the party, but it was great that we had all four of us together and kind of the whole crew hanging out together.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting. One of the things that we did differently was there was no music act. I did not hear any complaints about that from anyone.
I say thank you for that. I was finally able to talk to people and hear them.
Because that's something we had heard previously in past years was, you know, the music's so loud, I can't talk to my friends. And so I've always said that with Ohio Linux Fest, we try something, we see if it works. If it works, we keep doing it. If it doesn't work, we say, well, that failed.
Right. Now, I will say the previous year, not last year, with Dual Core, it seemed like for the majority of the night, it was very quiet, very quiet. And then for, you know, seemingly 15 minutes or so, I don't know, it wasn't too long, he did a show, which was really enjoyable. And then it went back again to quiet to where everyone could talk. I thought that was a good pace, but that was a much more open place we were in. We could have a room full of people talking and it still wasn't too loud. We're in the three-legged mare. The talking and the music made it really loud.
Right.
Yeah, it's a very cool looking place. I like the venue. I thought it was very nice. It is a bit small though, and I could see how it could be loud. I mean, even on the inside it was a little loud just trying to talk, and we were outside, which worked out well, but when you had to go inside, I could see that how it could be a little loud in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a good time by all.
Yeah, I sat up at the bar because I needed to get something to eat, and ended up in a discussion with Jim Brandt from, I want to say, Best Practical. These were the people who were teaching about Request Tracker on Friday. So he's from Buffalo, and I used to live there once upon a time, and so we just had, you know, nice conversation, and, you know, we both ordered dinner, and it was very pleasant.
Yeah, I think that's the best time that I have is when I'm able to sit down with a few people, like three or four people at the most, and just talk and just conversate about something.
Right. You know, one other thing that occurs to me is that Russ Wenner recorded his own OLF roundup for the Techie Geek podcast. I don't know if you guys had a chance to hear that, but I did, and I wrote to him afterwards because he said something that really I was glad to hear that he picked up on. And that is that he said, you can bring your children here and it's going to be just fine because there's nothing questionable going on. You know, it's family friendly. And I wrote to him and said, yeah, it is. And we've taken grief about that a few times.
I thank you for it. I am one who, because honestly, I cannot wait. Next year, I am bringing my oldest son. And I know, I already know. There's nothing to worry about. You know, I'm not going to take them into a hotel room where people are drinking because that happens in those isolated areas.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is completely quote unquote free and G. It's utterly family friendly, and I know my kid's going to have a blast. He's going to like meeting the people. He's going to be interested when the people are talking, but I'm sure he's a kid, so he's going to get a little bit bored and want to do something else, and that's okay. I just want him to go through the experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree, Dora. You know, you had mentioned that before, and it got me thinking, because I had taken my son with me up to the Linux Fest Northwest. And that's, you know, we got to see the guys from the Linux Action Show and Brian Lunduk and some other people up there. And my son just had a blast. And he's 13. And by the time the next Ohio Linux Fest comes over, he's going to be 14. And thinking about, you know, you kind of put the seed in my brain to get me thinking about maybe I should bring my son with us, too. It would be a good time getting over there. Plus, just a great time for him to go see another Linux Fest. And if you bring your son, then we can put them together and say, well, watch after each other, and then we'll go drink.
Well, I just know one thing. If we have enough kids, we're going to have a local Minecraft server, or else they're going to go crazy.
My son has never played Minecraft.
Oh, lucky you.
But we do have an Xbox, and that's what he's on, so.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, by next year's Ohio Linux Fest, maybe you'll have a Steam box.
True. Yeah, with the recent advancements, Steam OS, and today they announced the Steam gamepad, I guess I'd call it.
It's like a controller.
Yeah.
Seeing the picture, I don't know what to think of it. It's one of the things I think people have to have in their hands to see if it works or not, because there's no D-stick, there's no analog sticks, and there's no buttons. It's two what looks like essentially touchpads, which does allow for much more dynamic usage of it, but I don't know how it would translate in gameplay.
I do like the fact that they're concave, so they dip in.
Yes,
which is it would be a completely different feel if they were flat. But because they're going to dip in a little bit more, I don't know. I would. It's definitely something like you said. You're going to have to get your hands on that to feel really how that's going to work.
Right, but I just like seeing. Well, here's the thing. Even if it kind of works and it isn't spectacular, I don't care. I'm happy someone is trying it. You know what I mean? Because typically the people who first try stuff don't make it. It doesn't work. It doesn't take off, but it at least inspires confidence in other people to try more stuff.
Right.
And that's all I want to see. I want to see advancements being made. I want to see people trying new things, trying to bring in new users, trying to bring in new markets, even, dare I say. While I don't completely agree with the Steam philosophy on Linux, I have it installed on my computer. So I agree with it enough. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. But it is not, quote-unquote, true free software. Some of the things they do are DRM-restricted, yada, 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 yada. With all that said, I think overall Linux, I hope, has more to gain than more to lose by having them in the Linux market.
Yes.
Agreed. I hope that is the case. I'm kind of optimistic. I'm thinking particularly that if Valve is pushing Linux gaming, that might finally get NVIDIA to do a better job of opening up their drivers.
Testify. And I hope that also it puts pressure behind ATI to do more on Linux, because the more video support we have, because that's one of the things lacking in Linux. And by lacking, I mean, we're just not up to par with the other operating systems. We're getting a lot better, but we're still not up to par with them. If this encourages both of them to do more work, hallelujah, you know?
Yeah, that's what we need.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. So next year, I'm ready to come back next year. I'm ready to fly. Uh-huh. I'm ready to fight thunderstorms. Yeah. I'm ready to sit in a van for 6 hours. I'm ready to be called Shorty.
you flew out to Baltimore and then drove with Dor?
I did. Yeah, I got a chance to fly out to Baltimore and then rode with Dor and Mitch. So that was fun. That was a lot of fun. It was an adventure.
That's what it was. You had so many issues in your airplane flights and everything else. I could not believe this guy still is in good spirits. Oh. I thought if he would have had a smooth trip, I'm afraid he would have been giddy the whole time. because he was just so happy, even though it was miserable. You had a miserable plane flight and stuff, man.
It's all right. It's, you know, it's part of flying. Yeah, you know, you got to switch planes and you got to fly across the country. If it goes too right, then there's something wrong. Really? If I get there happy and content and full on peanuts, somebody's made a mistake.
Right.
But you know what? Like I said, I'm willing to. I'll do it again right now. Let's go. Dorm, I'm gonna knock on your door tomorrow morning. Hello.
And that's what Mitch said. Mitch is, I don't know how old. He's older than me. It's almost
like 110.
Okay. Well, I'm not saying that. Well, he said, like 3 days after getting home, he said, I'm ready to do it again. And I'm thinking, I'm tired. I'm still tired. Yeah. This man's ready to roll.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, and Mitch got all inspired about going to Linux, and he's diving headfirst into Arch, and it's exciting. That is what's fun about a Linux Fest, is that you bring somebody who, he's talked about how he used Linux in the past, but it's been a long time. And so this Linux Fest, he just got all inspired, and you know, the Kindle, the fire has been stoked up again, and he's, nah, I don't want Ubuntu, no, I don't want Mint, I'm going to go Arch, I'm going to build my kernel from scratch. I just stepped out of the way and said, go for it, Mitch, have fun.
I know, but that scared me when he said that. I'm like, oh man, you know what? But I hope he has a good experience.
But on the other hand, I got to tip my hat to him and say, you know, you're a braver man than me, but that is awesome. So. Mitch says it's 158.
I remember the first time I compiled software to install it. It was quite an accomplishment.
Right. I'll say I believe I actually had to run a command the other day to compile my kernel on my phone. That's about as far as I've gotten.
Did it work?
It's still working. So I believe it worked. But it was commands I had no idea what they were doing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I did. Those are always and the... I think it's still working.
I hope this works. Enter. Yeah,
because I'm the guy, I'll say it like this, I'm a perennial advanced noob. I don't want to get above an advanced noob because then I feel like I can't communicate with noobs. Mm-hmm. So there's certain stuff I purposely don't dive into in Linux, and people keep saying, you know, I ask you any question and you get me an answer, you're a Linux guy who knows a lot. And I'm like, well, actually, I don't know a lot. I know where to go to find out my information. Mm-hmm. I understand the basics of what I'm telling you, but I'm not an advanced Linux guy.
Right.
You know, I leave that to like Dan friggin' Washko. He's the guy, if I go to, he'll explain stuff to me. I'll pick up every like third word of what he's saying, but it's typically enough for me to comprehend the gist of it. But you know, that's the kind of user I'm just utterly blown away by.
Yeah. You know, I am the furthest thing in the world from being a Linux guru, which I suspect is why I do some of the things I do, because, you know, I'm never going to be writing code or doing any contributing that way, but I can do other things in the community and feel like I'm not being a freeloader. So,
right.
Yeah. So I'm ready to come back, like I said. Let's do it again. Yeah. Now I got to figure out. Now my next one is I got to make it over to Boston.
Good luck with that. I'll say, and knowing you guys at OLF, you've probably already had one, maybe even two meetings about next year's OLF and about lessons learned from this past year kind of thing.
Yeah, we had our first weekly meeting this past Tuesday.
Very cool. Yeah, the organization that goes on behind the scenes, I will tell you, sooner or later, I want to try to transition from speaking into supporting OLF, mm-hmm. you know, directly kind of thing. I'm having too much fun speaking right now, though.
Yeah, I can understand that. But I mean, it really is kind of year round. The we do Tuesday evening meetings on IRC, and those happen just about every week of the year. We are trying to take a look at people's schedules for an all-day meeting in the you know, sometime in the next month or so. And that's really when we start pulling apart what happened this year and what we're going to do for next year. Then we do another in-person meeting, say beginning of May. And that's where it's like, okay, now we really got to seriously put the pieces together for, you know, the upcoming event. And that's when we start, you know, figuring out physical space issues, you know, what rooms are we going to use? And, you know, we have to finalize our contract with the convention center and all of that kind of stuff. So.
Very cool. And I will say, I have to ask you guys, are the shirts still available for purchase?
I believe so, because we just went through a third-party site. So you just go to the website and, or let me see if the,
I forgot about the shirts. I knew I wouldn't have them in time for the fest, but.
Yeah, it looks like ohiolenix.storenvy.com, and it looks like it's still 100% up and running.
Okay, good. I was just going to check that, but if you've already checked it.
It looks like it's all up and running, yeah.
I'll place an order for mine tonight.
Very cool. Yeah, and I will say, once again, I think you guys, I don't see a lot of Lennox Fest shirts again, I'm going to say, but you guys seem to always have really good looking shirts. So good job with that.
I do. You know, I was looking at people wearing their past shirts and I was wishing that there were some still available. I like the gray one. I don't know if that was last year or the year before, but.
Yeah, last year was gray.
Well, I think something happened to your audio there, Kevin.
My audio just died?
Maybe put a marker in Audacity. And the reason why I use Audacity, it lets me put markers down so I can know exactly when in someone else's audio file to take a peek.
I probably should not have tried to go over to the browser and start checking the website. May have been a mistake.
Yeah, so I'll say this would be a good time to close the show.
All right. Speaking of, you know, we talked about Jono Bacon and Ubuntu, and we talked about accessibility. We definitely want to throw out support to our friend Jonathan Nadeau at the Accessible Computing Foundation. His site can be found at www.theacf.co. He's full-on pulling steam ahead, moving on with some accessibility for not only blind and deaf, but people who just need some help. Very good support. He's, you know, if you're looking at want to help out, how can, you know, a couple things. How can you help out with that? One, contact the acf.co, and you know, $2 a month. You know, you can throw him some money, and he would love that, and you're going to help with a great foundation. The other one is seed his sonar torrents. That can be found at sonargnulinux.com/download. Seed that out. Get that out in the out so that way when people need it, they can grab it much faster. If you guys want to get a hold of us, we love hearing your voicemails, your comments, your questions. You can send us an email to podcast@linuxfortherestofus.com. If you want to send us a voicemail, 7076-PODNUT.
Oh, we had a voicemail too. I forgot. It's too late now. I
threw my groove off. No, it's all right. Yeah. If you want to, if you're looking at buying stuff, we talked about buying t-shirts, Amazon, Newegg, eBay, things like that. podnuts.com/Amazon, podnuts.com/Newegg, poundnuts.com/eBay, deals, clothing. If you want it, you can help us out. Just throw us, throw PodNuts a little bit of money. It's not going to come out of your pocket. You're not going to see any of it, but we do get a little bit of kickback from the companies, and that works out really good for us. I've had a great time here tonight. Kevin, I know you're not with us anymore, but Thank you for all the work that you do at Ohio Linux Fest. I had a blast, and I'm already looking forward to coming back next year, and I really want to bring my son. It's a great place to be, great family, great. I mean, I'm here. You guys are family to me, and I look forward to seeing everybody again next year. Dor, you got anything tonight in closing? Or?
I just want to thank everyone who is using podnuts.com/Amazon. That is a tremendous help to this network. I cannot say it loud enough. Each time you guys go and use that, that makes it so we don't have to go get sponsorship. I would much rather have this driven by community members than having to interrupt shows and talk about sponsors. So everyone who is going to podnuts.com/Amazon, thank you. Everyone who's changing their DNS settings, we had a couple people doing that kind of stuff since in their entire home network. Thank you greatly. You guys are the pillars of Podnuts. Grazie. I don't know any other languages, or I would say it in other languages, but thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much, guys. We've had a blast tonight, and we're going to see you guys next week. Have a great evening.
Do you sit on your butt all day? Are you tired of watching the weight pile on? Are you sick of what you see in the mirror and just too busy to do anything about it? The 28 Workouts Fitness Program was created with you in mind. Shed the weight and get into the best shape of your life. Workouts are only 25 minutes per day, no more than 4 days per week. No gym needed, no equipment needed. Instant download. Go to www.28workouts.com today for more details. Your time is now. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.